Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island-chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It was a thought that occurred to me some time ago. A lot of truth is say, hey, why don't anybody go out and kill these bad, evil people that are engaging in copious quantities of scumbaggery? Well, no. The reason why... It's only good people that get assassinated is because the only people who would want to assassinate the bad people are good people. And good people don't assassinate people. It's just that simple. That's why you can't kill them. You certainly can't love them, because then they'll kill you and they'll manipulate you and use your love against you. Something to think about. Whenever you're deciphering criminal code or aka watching the news. That's all it is. A little bunch of matrixy type signals like hot blondes and such. Staring at you through the television, telling you stuff that doesn't actually matter at all. Think for yourself. Otherwise you never know who you might be led around by. Consider yourself the bad guy. Because there's no telling what kind of damage you'll do thinking that you're the one with the divine role and pursuit. You can do untold suffering and misery in the name of doing good. So if you just pretend to be the bad guy, you won't actually really become one, because you'll see the consequences of your actions before they happen. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very fabulous woman. She's the kind of person who's always caring for other people. Incidentally, she's Karen Quintastado from UnitedWeStrike.com. If you haven't heard of United We Strike, it is a monthly marathon, as well as many other things, of a mashup of all different and very fabulous truth-speaking people from all across the globe, broadcasting live on AM, FM stations across the world, quite literally. So think about that, and think about making sure that once a month you don't want to participate in the system. You don't want to buy their gas or have any of that trash. Don't buy into it anymore. Just for one weekend a month. Don't pay them taxes. Don't, you know, seriously. The whole thing has to stop. The only way we're going to do it is if we stop it. Karen, welcome.
Thank you very much, Vinny. And that's it. That and unity. We need unity and accountability, and to understand that every single solitary day we live our lives as usual, we send a message of compliance through our silence to our misrepresentatives whose vested self-interest has allowed us to be brought to the brink of a great change, of a great shifting consciousness as human beings begin to look within, change ourselves there so that we can change the world without and love ourselves enough to stop being lied to, manipulated, and deceived. And United We Strike is about education, preparation, and resistance to tyranny through massive, well-planned global economic boycotts and strikes. Because right now, all of us are under global economic conquest. They've got legislation written up over here in the United States. A year after the Revolutionary War, we're supposed to be free of King George. He sends 100 legal advisors to help us with our legal system, effectively putting us under legal economic conquest. And so we're tied to pieces of paper that have nothing to do with justice, nothing to do with morality, integrity, courage, or honor. And people have to get beyond repeating, "I'm doing my job," thinking that they're isolating themselves and that that's an excuse. Because actually, you think about the chances we have with doing our job or actually standing up for honor and integrity and justice. And if those soldiers who had marched Jesus to his death had instead refused to follow an immoral order, knowing that this man's supposed only crimes were overturning the money changers' tables and speaking about going within to find your God, to find the peace, that you didn't have to use your property, your lambs, your cattle, and your food to give sacrifices to the gods, which ended up on the priests' tables. If we understand that we are all a human family, except for those of us who are reptilians, of course, but we're still, if we understand, we got one planet here, and we need to really get real and rise to the occasion of seeing what's going on and withdrawing support globally. And that's what United We Strike is about. And the Peace Train Marathon, which rolls out tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Pacific time, and it'll roll through Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, folks, all around the world. Tune in, tune out of the regular world, and start to connect with those of us who are beginning to really glimpse what is going on and how we can get around it.
Mm-hmm. And it said that business of giving to each other and being on the same level with everybody, that's what really promotes unity and kind of like a camaraderie and faith, and you can kind of follow each other even until death. That kind of strength is very difficult to oppose, essentially. It's, you know, you've got to have the right and moral on your side if you are the ones that are actually doing the right thing.
That's it. We've got to, and we also have to realize that once you know a crime is being committed, ignoring that makes you an accomplice. And all of us have been made accomplices to the murder and the destruction of this planet through the military madness. And I guess recently the military came in and told Congress to buzz off because, you know, the UN and NATO are giving us orders now, which shouldn't be any surprise. But again and again, we are faced with more and more corruption until finally, you know, there's no other place to look to solve your problem but within.
I've seen the documents. The UN wants to have over 50% of control and have everybody's army, or over 50% of them, directly answerable to them. The World Army. And they put these documents in place long ago. Here it is.
Yeah, I mean, these systems that some people still are under the misconception that what's happening in politics and these all this money changing and stuff, it's a series of mistakes instead of a well-planned operation that is systematically taking down country after country after country. You cannot have global government if you have a strong, sufficient country. So the presidents who we've had here, who have been the presidents of the corporation, have served the corporation of the United States very well. They're making money. The military-industrial complex is conquering the world at the expense of us, literally in every way, shape, and form, including depleted uranium. What is happening is absolutely unconscionable. Plus, we're paying them money so that the Navy can be blowing up bombs here in the Pacific and around our coast because Fukushima wasn't enough.
I had a thought the other day. What was it? It was something about, how many times have you paid tax and you don't know where your tax is going? Now, think about this. What if you had a participatory tax funding program? You actually get a card with a checkbox about all the different projects that the tax pays for or could go towards. How many people do you think would tick the box saying service foreign debt?
Or take 40 to 60 cents out of every dollar I have so that my children will be hungry and children on the other side of the world will be dead. I'd rather do that than really think about the fact that that's what they do with my money, is they're changing the rules in the background and stealing my pension and my future.
Yeah, that's because you checked the kill other people and then make a few people rich boxes.
If we did have to sign up for it or say, yes, okay, I agree my money can go here and my money can go here to experiment on us. And I was talking to Kevin Nanette last marathon, who said also, you know, all of our money goes to like the RFID chips and things like that. And they were experimenting, putting that in the indigenous Indian population in Canada back in the early 70s. We're finding out also that many military people, and I don't know if you've met them yet, Vinny, but there's Jesse Beltran and Peter and Lars are doing incredible work with ICAACT.org, which talks about all of the people who are finding that through dental work or vaccinations, especially the military people, they're finding RFID chips in the same basic locations. And these people are getting electrical impulses. Some people feel like they've got voices in their heads. And it's not that they're crazy. We've been chipped, dipped, and stripped. And until we step back, more of this will continue. And it's a fascinating topic, though, to find out all of a sudden that you're not crazy. This impulse is being given to you as part of the experimentation on the entire global population by the military-industrial complex, compliments of our tax dollars.
Well, as they say at college, they encourage experimentation. We have a very special guest who has just dropped in, just on the subjects of vaccines and what have you while we're at it. And his name is Sean Buckley. Sean, welcome to the program.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me, Vincent. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we've got you coming through loud and clear. Meet Karen Quintestado. And Sean, I think you should actually meet Karen, because Karen's a very lovely woman and she gives a lot of airtime to people who are very lovely people, which I believe you are.
Hi, Sean.
How are you, Karen?
I'm good. I'm part of United We Strike, and we've got a 3-day Peace Train marathon coming up this weekend. We're hoping everybody tunes in to UnitedWeStrike.com. We've got a simulcast with Wolf Spirit. You can get the information on UnitedWeStrike.com, and it's all about unity and refusing to be an accomplice. The 15th of each month, we have a corporate economic boycott, but we also hope that when folks tune in around the radio during the marathons, they also keep their money in their pocket, because once we get enough support and we have the systems in place, it goes from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 days. We're going to start Ask Why Weekend, April 14th through 15th, but maybe by that time, we'll finally hit that magic essence where people will be outraged enough and it will spark off all around the world, people staying home. And if we stay home collectively for 4, 5, 6 days and starve the beast collectively, we can turn around and take it apart locally. They cannot get us all.
Yep. Got to starve that beast, make them real, real hungry, make them real, real angry, and charge at you blindly, and then you take them down.
Well, right. Just locally, turn around, get a good sheriff who can turn back all those alphabet gangs, stand behind him, and start pulling out these people who are totally misrepresenting us and putting them behind bars if they are proven to have been worthy of being put there, like most of them.
And more to the point, if there ain't no good sheriff, and you're the person who realizes there's no good sheriff, the responsibility is on you.
There you
go. Get somebody. Right. If you're the person who figures out a particular problem, you know, you see something's wrong and you don't think that anybody else sees it, then the onus is on you. Okay. We are burdened with information. You shouldn't just take it and do nothing with it. If it comes to a logical conclusion and there's a small, even infinitesimal chance that you can make a difference about it by talking about it, then you should.
Agreed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sean, do you have a website or a...
Yes, yeah. I'm part of an organization called the Natural Health Products Protection Association. Our mandate is to prevent the government from telling us what we can and can't put in our bodies and trying to protect our access to natural remedies. And its website is www.nhppa.org. And then we're also involved in what in Canada is called the Charter of Health Freedom. So if you just Google Charter of Health Freedom, we're quite involved in pushing that project, which is just a piece of legislation to basically give us our health freedom rights back.
So just like there's a Codex Alimentarius, which is essentially a charter of health enslavement, you have created a charter of health freedom.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting because in Canada, the courts actually are pretty good if you, you know, depend on something for a serious health condition and the government says you can't have it. The courts are really good at saying, no, no, government, you have to bend. But the government tends to just ignore that and forces people to go to court all the time. And so we need a piece of legislation basically providing, you know, that the government has to uphold our rights and having some mechanisms that are short of going to court. Because most people can't go to court. They can't afford it. And if your life depends on something, you don't have time.
Well, that's the thing, though, with the legislation and going through all of the rituals of even trying to get legislation there, because it's such a show, and it's backed up by the pharmaceutical companies who have never-ending pockets, which is why I feel so strongly that really simply withdrawing total support, you know, we need common sense, natural law, and not this ridiculous legal economic conquest that has us all so totally ensnared.
I wonder, where does the money come from? You know, how do all these people amass such enormous wealth without borrowing huge quantities from foreign banks that wind up owning them and telling them how to dictate the way their companies run? That's just a question on my behalf. I don't even know the answer. Karen, thank you for dropping in. You've got to go. Shim will still be joining me in the next segment, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. From the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island change nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. And today, we have a very special guest for you, a specialist of sorts in law and the medical industry. And of course, as we all know, both law and the medical industry are particularly rife with scumbaggery, and we do like to expose scumbaggery on the show. And Sean, welcome to the program.
Now, glad to be here.
What has been happening recently?
Where I am in Canada?
Yeah, or even around the world, because this I just see so many articles all day long from every site, six ways from Sunday under the sun. Everything's under attack. So there surely must be something going on in Canada too.
Oh no, we're the last bastion of freedom, I wish. I mean, it's funny. I'm going to be working this weekend because I need to give a constitutional opinion on a piece of provincial legislation that will basically give emergency committees the right to come in and take your food in the case of an emergency, or your fuel, or anything you have, vehicles, whatever. And basically take control of your person, tell you what you have to do for them or not do. Quite phenomenal. And it crosses the line because, you know, if, you know, in an emergency, the governments do need some powers over and above what they might otherwise have. I mean, think of New Orleans, for example, when people started rioting and killing and raping. most of us probably wouldn't begrudge the authorities for establishing order. But when you're saying that people can come in and take your emergency food and your water and anything you have, that's a new order of magnitude. It's quite fascinating, actually.
Fascinating is, I'm not sure the word I would use to describe it, unless I was kind of studying a virulent virus in a test tube and I thought that it couldn't infect me.
No, but, you know, let me ask you this, because, you know, with some of the legislation I've seen passed in Canada, or, you know, they've tried to pass, I would have never thought in my lifetime that I would see legislation like that ever even introduced, let alone passed, and let alone passed, you know, by a vast majority. And, you know, so don't you sometimes find yourself asking, is this real? Like, is this possibly happening in my lifetime?
It happens all the time. If you look throughout history, humanity is predominantly never more than one or two generations from freedom or slavery.
No, I mean, good point. It's an ongoing trend. It's just, it would be nice if the sheeple would figure out a way to go more than one or two generations.
Well, I don't think the sheeple would ever figure it out, because history shows they never do. It's usually a small determined minority who stay after dark, after work after hours, who work day after day for a better world, that actually get it. The people that follow them are the ones that are free to receive it and will usually not be able to maintain it long after they're gone.
Right. No, agreed. It is a minority. And I just hope we're reaching that point where there's enough of us that are willing to make a difference, even though there's going to be a cost.
Mm. I don't think that it's good to see it in terms of how many numbers you have. I think it's more important to see that the small numbers that you do have, what a major effect it is actually having.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not really seeing in any country draconian legislation being rolled back. And I'm not seeing freedoms being added anywhere. So I would say the pendulum's still swinging towards tyranny. And, you know, that clearly there's not enough of a mass yet to stop it.
This is true. Not enough resistance. And have you noticed how it's... somebody can't tell you that something's wrong and you have to go do something about it. You have to find that out for yourself and oftentimes feel the consequences of it before you will act.
Well, I mean, I think you could say that about anything, right? Like, unless you're aware of it. I mean, I take this show, for example. I mean, I think shows like this, when people listen to it, it can get them thinking and start to open their minds. So it's definitely different than the mainstream approach. So I'm not sure that it's so cut and dried. I think many of us find our way to kind of waking up a little differently. I mean, I shared with you kind of my conversion experience in the area of natural health the other day. And that just involved a client.
You have those experiences, you know, and it appears like random, and only in hindsight can you say that it's fate. This is something that everybody has the opportunity to experience and notice. But when you walk down a street, do you notice everything that's going on? No. So you can't really miss out on anything if your focus is elsewhere. The problem is, people's focus has been elsewhere for quite some time, in the wrong places. And now, those who have deliberately distracted everybody are making their move. I think that this is now, like right here, you know, my New Year's resolution is 2012, time to stop fracking around. And I think that I'm not the only one who's got that New Year's resolution. And I think there's quite a few very, very powerful organizations at work who have decided that this year they are going to make their move and take everybody out You can take all their private property. You can deprive them of all their liberties. And you can punish them and you can hold them in line. And nobody will ever be able to rise to challenge them. You know, that seems to be the, if not the goal, it's certainly the natural progression of what you see as in terms of legislation being passed globally at this point.
Yeah, I think that we need to bear in mind that the new model of the police state doesn't necessarily entail taking control over everyone. I mean, it's different because before, the police state would operate through complete fear. So you had to have jackboots on the ground. You had to have uniforms on the street. You had to have this, you know, culture of distrust where you never knew who might report you to the authorities, and you lived in fear. But that's a very resource-dependent way of running a police state. I think the new model is you allow the people to live with relative freedom. I mean, you and I, we can jump in our cars, and more often than not, we can drive wherever we want to go without a roadblock. We can buy what we want. We can choose what types of jobs, you know, we have. There's a lot of freedom, but what's happening is, or there's a lot of appearance of freedom. No, let me back up. I mean, there really is a lot of freedom in those areas. But what's changed is, and it's changed very recently, is before, if the state wanted to take control over your person or property, you know, either to kill or imprison you or to take your property, they had to always go through independent courts. And that was the rule of law. And that's why we didn't have tyranny, because tyranny just is the ability of the executive to act with absolute discretion. What I've seen in Canada and the U.S. and some other countries is laws are being passed that allow the state to take control over you personally and take control over your property without independent court supervision. So if you're in the way or you're troubling this new power mechanism, then, you know, they can take you out without disturbing everyone else. And it takes way less resources then to keep control over the population if you just abolish procedures and rule of law. And also when you pass these laws, the minions that will carry them out actually will believe that what they're doing is legitimate, even though anyone taking a step back says, you know, well, no, it's not legitimate to imprison people without due process or take their property or destroy them. But because the law is passed, many of the minions will happily do it, thinking that they're just following the law. It's actually become a shield to enable minions to do their master's biddings. And so it's a new model. That's all I'm saying.
I could just see it now.
Yes, master. I will confiscate their creams and salves. I will do it for you. Please lavish me with your attention and affection, master. I am lonely and cold on the sidewalk. I want a job, master. I will have one.
You know, I think that this is not going to be... Yeah, I can see that happening like next year, you know, in the street with public servants. You know, a friend of mine got pulled up in China. He was with some very wealthy people. And the police officer suddenly realized who he was talking to, an incredibly wealthy person. They'd been going like 150-kilometer zone. And he started begging for his job. Just plain, all-out ownership and corruption. Okay, there's certain people that won't be touched. Everybody else is fair game. This is the difference between a freedom and a privilege. Because what's happening normally is that the people are supposed to have freedom and the government exists at their privilege. What's happening is that relationships become flipped and the government has freedom and the people are instead subject to privileges, which can just be taken away, unlike freedoms, because every time we try and go after the government to take away some of their privileges, do they have them taken away? They don't, because they're free and we're just slaves at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I mean, But for most people, if you're not a target, I mean, whether you call it a privilege, which, you know, I think your analogy is correct. Once legislation's passed, giving the government the discretion to take your rights away without due process. But why the model works for them is those who aren't having their privileges taken away believe they're free, believe they have freedom, and don't want the cart kind of overturned. And, you know, as far as people's willingness to do these things, I think we need to recognize that there's, in our psychology, in our mass psychology, there really is a willingness to do things if the responsibility is not yours. So who was it that was the head of the SS during the Second World War? Was it Goring? No, he was the Air Force.
Goring.
Goring. You read some of his lectures, like before he would send his men out, you know, to kill political opponents or, you know, round up people and have them killed. He would literally say things like, "You're not pulling the trigger, I am." Like he understood if he took the responsibility, they would follow orders. You know, during the Nuremberg trials, you would hear time and time again, "I was just following orders. I was just following orders." And so there's a large segment of the population that will carry all of this stuff out because they're following orders. And it's more even enhanced when there's laws in place to permit this. And that's what's so scary is because these people, not only are they willing to do it, but many of them actually feel that they're supposed to do it. And they're not taking a step back and saying, "Well, just wait a second. You know, can I, as one human being, is there any justification for me to enslave or kill somebody else? Like, who cares that you're being told?" Like, we need to start holding bureaucrats to account when they're hurting us, whatever the context is, and start saying, "No, we're not going to give up our freedoms."
People have become too complacent, I think, and they have no knowledge of history. I mean, can you name me a country in history where at no point have they ever been killed or enslaved or done some or killed or enslaved somebody else? They don't exist. They don't exist.
Well, give me another
everybody.
Second.
Everybody. Okay.
Yes, like I know that, you know, Canada is the way we treated the indigenous population is almost difficult to speak about. It was so awful. Like, we would put tuberculosis and smallpox in blankets and give them to communities, knowing they had no immunity and we'd be wiping them out.
It's called biological warfare.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
This is what the nature of the human condition. And by the human condition, I'm not saying it's a condition of being human. It's a product of the environment that you keep. If you have an environment where there's no violence of any kind, you're not violent. Surprisingly, if you're in an environment that doesn't compromise your health and eats really, really good stuff that's good for you, you notice that you're sick a lot less. Things like that, they're pretty obvious, really. Take some responsibility. And we'll be right back at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Never been edible. I'm a cracker, not a vegetable, fed to an extraterrestrial. The beat is so electrical, it'll pump your heart ventricles, but I bet you will eject it if I start getting intellectual. I am not yet credible, so until I can say I'm credible, I'll say that I'm incredible, respectable, and professional. Do you read me? Am I legible? It's time to get down to the question of eventually will the corruption in the government lead to the collapse of us? Lead to the collapse of us. Lead to the collapse of us.
Yeah! Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The show that's all about the corruption that's leading to the collapse of us. Like a nice little pipe organ-y thingy, it will simply collapse in on itself and produce a very interesting sound at the end of the day. My very special guest is Sean Buckley. And tyranny knows that it needs to seize control of political free will in order to succeed. And whether people acknowledge it or not, health is political. Sean, what do you think about that?
Well, I think at a very fundamental level, there's no right that is more important than having control over our own bodies. And there's no question that health policy seems to be in the hands of corporatist interests at this point. So I would agree that by definition, that's political. And it's just because of the large amounts of money involved, because we will pay large sums for our health. And if you can control how we spend that money, that gives you an enormous amount of power.
I think it's about power over the fundamentals of life, don't you think? Power over water, power over food, power over health, power over the politicians. You know, they got you.
Well, they do. I mean, we've lost control over our food supply. I mean, not completely, but I don't know what the situation is, for example, with GMO food where you are, but you can't find a loaf of bread here that doesn't have GMO in it. It's really difficult in Canada and the U.S. to avoid this, and we don't own, the farmers don't own their seeds anymore. They have to pay royalties to a company, which is absolutely fantastic. You know, basically we're back to the corn laws, where we've lost control over our ability to grow our own food.
So that's the power over food, and they're already doing the stuff to give you power over your health. Does that suggest that there's already, of course, real obvious power over the politicians? And usually there are direct representatives of the corporations on these sorts of boards, lobbyists and such, or politicians that have taken campaign contributions from the such that sit at the head of hearings and such. Is this the same everywhere? I think it is. Because it's the same game plan.
Well, for example, a friend of mine, a Dr. Shiv Chopra, was a senior scientist at Health Canada, which is our regulatory agency that approves drugs and manages food issues. And for a while, he was actually head of the veterinary medicine branch, which was the branch that would approve veterinary medicines. And he ended up getting fired for being a whistleblower, because he let the media know that basically what would happen is a Health Canada scientist would conclude a drug is dangerous, and Health Canada would then run around their decisions. And this forced actual Senate hearings, and there was a whole bunch of media. About five or six scientists got subpoenaed to testify. One of them, a Dr. Hayden, explained to the CBC, our national news agency, that actually after you've been at Health Canada for a while, you can see the pattern. You know how they're going to get around your decision when you're recommending that a drug not be approved because it's unsafe. So what will happen is the conduct of the file will be taken from you, and they will appoint an outside independent panel of so-called experts, usually tied to the company that wants the drug approved. This panel of experts will say, oh, no, no, it's safe. And then the management of Health Canada will have it approved over the objections of their own scientists that say it's unsafe. Now, so, how do you explain that if that's not corporatism?
Well, I would think that it's not corporatism. It's simple psychopathic control, mafioso style. What they've done is they've decided, okay, we need to make sure that we're going to build the hen house, and then we're going to put all the chickens in it, and then we get to feast off those chickens for as long as we want. That's what they've done. They've just captured the government. It's a form of grand corruption that's being exposed by a lady here in New Zealand called Penny Bright. And what it does is it influences government and buys off politicians at the policy level. And that way, when the policies are implemented, the companies which are going to be affected by certain progressive legislation in New Zealand. I think we're passing upwards of between one and two laws a day. And it is, and nobody knows anything about any of these. Like maybe they'll report a new passage of a bill a couple of times a year. There's some serious, really insane stuff going on. And because nobody's aware of it, it's not afraid. In fact, it's grown bold and arrogant and aggressive.
Well, I mean, what's even more scary, I mean, at least what I'm observing in Canada is when they come out with a law that's going to take away your freedom and enable them to destroy anyone they target, is most of the population will actually support it. Because as soon as the government says, oh, you're in danger, so we need this to protect you, the average citizen actually then pressures the politician to pass these laws that will enslave them. So the politicians get rewarded for undermining our fundamental rights and freedoms. It's quite incredible to behold.
And you notice that the media works with them as well. Have you noticed how you never see happy, uplifting, enlightening stories? It's always there was a car crash, or there was somebody murdered, or there was somebody raped, or there was a train accident, or a bomb blast somewhere, or anything like that. Those are the kind of images that people are getting. Shark attacks, for example, in Australia, kill about three people per year. And having a look at, say, peanut allergies, way, way more than that. There's just no, people are afraid of things that they shouldn't be afraid of. And the only way you can do that is with mass mind control through the mass media. Because people aren't supposed to think in a mass sense, because then they forget about themselves. They forget about their own rights. They forget about what life is really about. Is that I'm not part of a group, I'm me. You know, I may have similarities with everybody else, but it's the differences that actually make us who we are.
Okay. Yeah, no, I see your point.
And we shouldn't take anybody else's right to be who they are away from them because we're thinking in a mass mentality. You know? I can't see where a mass mentality has got us into any good strife at any point, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't think it's as cut and dried as that. I mean, as far as, you know, mass media reporting shark attacks, to use your example, because a possibility exists is that that's actually what most people want to read about. That we do want to hear about shark attacks, that there's actually, for whatever reason in our psychology, where I have problems with the mass media is just when they distort what the government is doing. So, for example, an example I was involved with is the government was in the process of trying to pass what was Orwellianly called the Consumer Product Safety Act, which basically would enable them to destroy and imprison you if you're in the area of consumer products. But it was purported for our safety, even though they could do that without any safety concern. And there were, you know, there's a lot of opposition wasn't showing up in the media. Actually, it maybe even just changed to a better example. They were trying to pass the same things in the area of natural health products, food and drugs. The popular uproar was so great. All the alternative media and the lower tier media, it's like front page news. MPs told us, MPs that have been in parliament for like decades have said, no issue has actually shut down their offices the way this had. So many people were calling and writing. It was shutting down MPs' offices. You never heard about it in the mainstream press. And then what happened is there was kind of a shell game. So the Minister of Health announced, hey, we've made changes. We've addressed the concerns you have. And it's all solved. It was front page news. It was a story, you know, on all of the major news stations, like the TV, for one day. And the story was, we've heard you, the problem was solved. Well, the changes actually made it worse. And we never ever heard of it again. And I just thought, isn't that interesting? Here was an issue that was shutting down the government, that, you know, the lower independent media was all over. It was never reported in the mainstream media except the one day of deception. And, you know, I don't know if it's just the mainstream media depends on government advertising revenue or what it is. But it's tough to be objective when you see that.
Yep. Well, look at it this way. Being objective is about seeing what the other person's objective is. That's how I see it. And if you have a look at their actions, then their objective becomes quite obvious. Because nothing good can come from what they are doing. And if you know that, then you know that you are the only person that you can rely on to actually go out there and stop it. That's called taking responsibility for oneself, one's country, and one's people. And thank you very much, Sean, for doing so. And we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. The Vinny Eastwood Show. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulous island jewel nation of New Zealand. Absolute pristine poisons are sprayed all over our native bushlands that kill absolutely everything. The native birds, the native slugs, the native crayfish, the native everything. It's called 1080. And of course, it's manufactured in America in a very crappy little laboratory that is virch out the back of somebody's thing, and New Zealand consumes about 97% of the world's 1080, which was used previously to poison waterways in Manchuria, China, by the Japanese, so that they would kill entire communities downstream. It is an endocrine disruptor and can destroy your body and particularly your fertility and have deformities and stuff. Quite a nasty substance. And the government tells everybody, hey, you know it'll be good to save your native birds? Dumping one of the most toxic environmental spill type items over all your pristine bushland where all those birds live. And we'll flavor it with cinnamon. And we'll make it with like wheat and rice and stuff like that so that everything can enjoy it. And they think, oh, man, that's brilliant. It only cost us like $5 million a year in a country for like 4 million people. We're not trying to, you know, destroy life as we know it, are we? Such is the insanity of government backed by irresponsible media who will not report the truth, history, or context, but they will report events. There was a protest about 1080. There was a hearing on 1080. That's about as much detail as you get. By comparison, you get an activist, and you ask them a question about it, and they'll be able to explain to you at length the damage that it does. And sum up in a few words the good that it does. And those words will not be good words. My very special guest is still Sean Buckley. And how can I ask you, what do you think is the main threat facing Canada at this moment and for people's health in terms of it?
And then I want to comment on your loss of forests. The main threat to our health in Canada is that we are losing access to the majority of natural and traditional treatments we had access to and being forced into the chemical pharmaceutical model. And whether you support that model or not, it's very dangerous. And that is our main threat. And I mean, we're also really deciding to microwave ourselves is the second threat. So like where I live, we are getting water meters with microwave transmitters. We are getting electrical meters with with wireless microwave transmitters, and we are going to get gas meters. So every home is going to have three wireless transmitters. So, you know, and maybe it's because we're a cold country and they want to warm us up. I don't know. But those two things would be our largest threat. Now, just to comment on, you know, your spraying of chemicals on your forests, I don't think you're looking, you know, on the bright side of this, is once your forests are gone, the genetically modified crops, they can withstand these chemicals. So, in fact, it's funny, you know, this Roundup Ready crops that Monsanto's had, the insects and weeds are now adapting to Roundup. So it's becoming ineffective. And the next, I guess, big genetic crop that we're going to have will be basically able, you'll be able to spray the main component of Agent Orange on it. So thankfully, we can get that in our food and water supply next.
Absolutely. It'll be Agent Orange flavored water that comes out of your tap, and it'll be good for the kids. Now, speaking of which, in New Zealand, I think it's triclifer, which is the active ingredient in Grazon, which basically like Roundup. We're allowed 1,000 times more of that particular chemical under New Zealand drinking water standards as they do in the European Union. Now, that's fracking scary.
That is. That is. Maybe you guys are tough out there. I don't know.
Well, if we were tough, we're probably getting weaker by the minute.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely frightening, the amount of chemicals. I mean, here we are, you know, where I live, British Columbia, it's, people say it looks like New Zealand. I mean, mountains and forests and all of that. And, like, the government pays to spray, you know, herbicides all over the forests. It's just, it's absolutely bizarre why you would do that.
Yeah. I thought about it, and you have a look at the people who are just driving along there every week, spraying herbicides on the sidewalk grass that's growing up. You know, like, the sidewalk just doesn't go straight to the street. I mean, like, we have grass verges along, you know, main streets a lot of the time. So, you know, there's plenty of weeding and whatnot that could be done, but they don't do that. Instead, they spray incredibly hazardous toxins all over it, not even so much as wearing a face mask, the people spraying it, let alone the people walking in it, let alone the people inhaling it that are walking along those sidewalks every day. It is absolute insanity.
Yeah, and yet people put up with it. It fascinates me. And our officials pay for it. I mean, not only do they tolerate it, I mean, the government funds this. And it's really difficult to explain.
Now, I saw an ad, I think it was a joke ad maybe, but it had a giant kind of like, you know how like when they're doing promotions on packaged goods, you know, they have this big yellow circle or something going extra free or something good, you know, extra vitamin A or extra scumbaggery or whatever. And it says, it's guaranteed GMO.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. You know, instantly, that you're never going to see that. In New Zealand, we've got some of the tightest and strictest food regulations. We've only had 6 recorded deaths in the last year regarding to foodborne illness. You know, our food labeling is pretty fracking good, right? Wouldn't you say? But still, they don't have to declare whether or not a substance is GMO.
No, and they don't here, and they don't in the U.S. And so far, every attempt to get a law passed that would require labeling of GMO is defeated. And huge dollars go involved to fighting those things. Although studies show that the majority of people would avoid GMO if they knew it was in their food.
This is the thing that people don't seem to recognize. And I believe it's because they just haven't been exposed to the information. I think that most people are good, decent, genuine people, and when something's explained to them in a calm and reasonable fashion, they get it, and they begin to understand it. The people who would refuse to You don't need to waste your time trying to explain something to them, because they're kind of like sheep. Once a shepherd is produced for them, they'll follow it to their doom. The rest of us, on the other hand, and this is probably a very significant portion of society, I think, what was his name? Some old philosopher dude, Chomsky, said that there's like this political class around, 15% of the population that actively can and do participate in things that are really going on. So where are we actually heading here? You're talking about wholesale, you know, just classify it, the entire planet, where at least every English-speaking nation to this point is having the exact same legislation passed, all of it to take away people's rights, all of it to sell out the country to foreigners and destroy nations' sovereignty, everything. It's prepping everything for world government. There's nothing that will happen that's good from this type of legislation.
No, and it's just, and look at the trajectory. So all of these laws are being passed undermining the rule of law. But what are they doing? They are infecting our food supply with genetically modified organisms. They are polluting our food and water supply with chemicals. They are taking away our natural remedies that would help us to stay healthy despite all the challenges that they're presenting us. And then they're also irradiating the living daylights out of us with, you know, microwave radiation. So, you know, it's just interesting. I think you have to look at what they do. The actions and the acceleration really are towards creating a sick and dumbed down population.
Sick and dumbed down population.
Oh, I now, forgot about the fluoride. The fluoride, you know, that's another example. Now, we don't have fluoride in my city, so, you know, you might have
that you know of. What about all the people that are taking psychopharmacotic drugs or whatever the term is, and urinating and going into the city water and recycled, and then you start to get all your fluoride that way? Isn't that nice?
Yeah, no. Well, where I live, I mean, we had a big referendum and it's not added, and we're in the middle of the mountains. So the water's pretty
pristine.
Clean. I am, yeah. So if there's, you know, the odd independent thought, I'm sorry.
But wait a second, wasn't all the DDT and everything like that and all these sprays that were being sprayed up in the United States, all the winds have actually traveled it now up northwards. So what's happening is around the polar regions of the Earth, a whole lot of pesticide and really nasty chemicals are sort of all being pushed up there gradually.
Oh, yeah, it's everywhere. Absolutely.
So what we think is pristine is no longer pristine, is it? And it's the same across the board. It's like we really have woken up, and we're not in a wonderful, beautiful, natural wonderland anymore. We're in a world of complete and utter illusion, where all the threats are invisible that basically violate every basic principle of what we see in front of us. It's an entire prison for our mind, and it's been co-opted at every single level. That's the malevolence of it. It knows what it's doing is wrong. It hides the fact, like a guilty person would, and has no remorse, just like a psychopath. This is the psychology of the enemy that humanity faces at this point in every sector. And thankfully, we see constant examples of whistleblowers coming out, insiders coming clean, because they realize what is going on is wrong, and they feel an attack of conscience.
Yes, well, I certainly like to see a lot more whistleblowers, because, you know, I think you and I are both fairly confident that there's a lot going on that people would just be absolutely shocked at if there were more revelations. And I think it's coming. And I think it's coming because people are starting to realize that the end game, the destination, is going to be harmful for them and their families. And it becomes harder to cooperate with that realization.
Mm. And the African savanna, a herd will only need to have about 6% of the animals aware of an approaching predator before the whole herd becomes aware. Not entirely dissimilar from how 100th monkey syndrome occurred, where you would have a population of monkeys that have just figured out how to do this particular skill, and then a huge amount of them become aware of it, and then you find out that even on other sides of the earth, monkeys are suddenly becoming aware of it, like en masse. It's a very interesting psychological phenomenon and cause and effect regime, whatever it is. But it means that predators can be identified and can be exposed by a very small amount of the things that they predate on.
Right. Interesting point.
So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, just because the mere fact that people like you and I exist, Sean Buckley, is proof that these people cannot win. It is a signal that we have already won. And whatever we're doing every day, we're simply going through the motions here. If these people were going to win, nobody would know about it at all. But there is a growing online community of people that are aware and are starting to see it happening. And the worse laws that get passed, the more draconian they act, the more people it wakes up. So pray that it gets worse, and quickly, because it'll make sure that it hastens their very demise. Because how do you expose a fascist? You make them act like it. You know, taunt them, challenge them. A angry general in battle who is proud is much easier to conquer than a smart general who is cold and calculating.
Yeah, no, and I mean, it's interesting. That's what we're waiting for in Canada on the health freedom front is, you know, the majority of the population still hasn't seen what's happening. So we haven't reached enough yet to make that difference that we need. And but you know, I have to confess that I'm quite worried. I mean, when you have laws being passed like in the US where they can basically take control over you and kill you or take you to another country to be tortured, and you have no process at all, and they can do this to their own citizens. When you have laws being passed where basically they can shut down people from farming their own gardens. And, you know, it makes me, and people aren't reacting, it makes me wonder, well, what does it take? Like, do we have no appreciation of the value of freedom?
You know what it'll take, Sean?
Do we not cherish it at all?
It'll take a widely perceived direct external threat.
Well, yes, but usually the widely perceived external threats are used so that we can send our young people away to kill other young people, and those that stay behind can work even harder to support the machine. So, you know, I'm hoping we're not having an external threat soon. I don't know what your media is doing, but we're being groomed for a war with Iran.
Oh, well, I think we've been conditioned into that too. Isn't it interesting how everybody's media reports the exact same thing and all the same stories are covered and the same points of view and none of which are actually good or informative or actually the truth in any way, shape, or form? It's just a coincidence, of course. You know, powerful people don't get together and use their power to gain more influence, do they? We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
I got some so-called friends. Smile right to my face, all when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh no, no. Oh no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Whose side are you on? waistline of JFK. My heart goes boom, boom, boom.
Welcome back.
I know that customs man.
Welcome back, he's ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. That's all about translation. For example, the USA translated to the USSR. It's called In Progress. That's what's happening here. The once proud bastion of freedom and liberty and justice for all has turned into a corrupt den of thieves who have snaffled the bulk of its wealth, enslaved and enchained the bulk of its people, and will, slowly but surely, plot to exterminate them. Just like as always happens. Every time you give somebody dictatorial power, doesn't matter whether it's socialist Nazi Germany or socialist communist Russia, it is the exact same thing. They fracking kill everybody. Why? Because they're a bunch of thieves with no conscience. It will kill you as look at you. Imagine you walk down the street, somebody's got a knife, they're wielding it, they're running at you, they look incredibly scary, they're yelling things. You know that that person's going to hurt you. Now, unless you're armed, how are you going to deal with that person? You're going to run away from them, right? But what if they're a faster runner than you? Thing is, unless you're armed when that person comes at you, you have nothing to defend yourself with. This is the reason why the United States passed the Second Amendment. So that people could protect themselves, their property, and moreover, they can protect themselves from the government. Most importantly, this is why gun ban legislation is very scary. Because it is happening everywhere. People are being demonized for being terrorists if they're capable of defending themselves. I define terrorism as any force or act that will accomplish any kind of political aim. Under the definition of force, it includes sub-definitions of writing, blogging, filmmaking, or any kind of thing qualifies as force. So, according to the definitions, and that's from the Patriot Act directly, an exact same copy-pasted. I'm not joking here, like some of the lines are actually word for word exactly what's in the rest. Legislation is being passed in New Zealand called the Search and Surveillance Bill. They dress it up and they give it a different name. And isn't it clever using Patriot to mean I give permission for my entire country and the thing that it was very much founded upon can be destroyed? That's what a patriot does. I destroy my country. Can you imagine the profound, sick joke that the scumbaggery, filthmongering, flippant, swizzle-stickling scum-swazzler came up with that? Inconscionable. Unconscionable. These people. Mm-mm-mm. Now, I'm not going to demonize them and call them subhuman. I'm just going to, you know, straight out say that they're demons. Anyway, because, you know, think about the psychopathic mentality of that. Isn't it? There's no other explanation, okay, that I've heard of. And if there is one, I would very much like to hear it. Because this is the thing. Some people who find out about this kind of agenda get driven crazy by it. They overthink it. You know, it's just like, we're all going to die, we're all going to die. And it's just like, well, mate, when you were unaware of this, you weren't actually afraid of being killed. Now you are. Now, the only reason why you're still afraid is because you're not actually doing anything about it. You're not thinking about the problem in terms of how to find a solution. You're thinking about the problem in terms of the fact that it's a problem. Well, you already know that. And you learn nothing from repetition. That's why whenever people keep repeating the exact same thing back to me, and there's no extra thought in the process, no elaboration of detail, you know that they're trying to con you in some way or another. Either that, or they don't know what they're talking about. That's why I like, instead of interviewing politicians, there's very few politicians who actually give you very good answers that are actually provided with examples. For instance, there's a politician in New Zealand here called Winston Peters, the first person to get kicked out of the newly formed parliament, of course, as he does, because he called our earthquake minister, Jerry Brownlee, an illiterate woodwork teacher, which I thought was absolutely hilarious. And it's the reason why I love Winston, because he does insult illiterate woodwork teachers. I mean, and that's something I can be proud of. The question becomes, how much freedom do you have as a politician? Okay? They are bound to do certain things in a certain way, aren't they? They have to do submissions and all of this other stuff. There's a lot of work involved, and none of which do they really have to do if they don't really want to. That's why you have front benches and back benches, because the back benches are elected to sit there and look pretty. And the front benches are the ones who are doing all the work and getting all the things that they want for the country accomplished. And little does the public know that they've been in the pockets of the enemies of the country for a very long period of time. They've received great tutorage in the art of deceiving people. They know what they're doing. They may not know the end game of what they're doing or what real plans lie in store for them. Because every single time a country has been taken over by a tyrant, after the tyranny is successful and they've suddenly got the government, they've got control over the country, the first people to die are the people that served closest to the leader. The people who helped him plan it, the people who know the history, the people who could explain in vivid graphic detail what really went on. Their closest agents and officers. Every single one of them has a very short life expectancy. The reason for that should be self-evident. Criminals don't like to leave loose ends. They don't like to be able to be blackmailed. That's why they hide their identities when they commit crimes. Because if you can't be identified, how can anybody actually tell anybody else the truth about it? They don't know. I don't know what he looked like. Don't know what he did. That's how you get away with it. But now, that may be a good thing for criminals. But the average person benefits, I feel, from that exact same privilege. It's better for 100 guilty men to go free than for one man who is innocent to go to jail. Because let's face facts here. Depriving somebody of their liberty for any period of time should be taken with the utmost, deepest consideration for the consequences at hand of what happens to a person when they are deprived of their liberties. Psychological ramifications, the ramifications to friends, family members, entire communities, things of that nature. That should be taken with great care and consideration. Now, it doesn't seem as though there is an awful lot of care or consideration amongst police for the general public to a large degree, there are a few ones, usually policemen who have been imported from England, for example, are nice guys and you can talk to them because they've been trained that you can accomplish a lot more with words and a piece of pen and paper than you can with a gun or a taser. And that's the way police were and still should be. But there's a problematic difficulty with this, is that was the old way of policing, but now the new way is to apply force and threaten with arrest at the earliest available opportunity to prevent media from freely or getting in the face of them or anything like that. Just general aggression. Why do you want to live in a country that's generally aggressive? You know, it doesn't make any sense. It's because all these people, the reason why they demonize everybody else is because they've got really deep problems with themselves. Okay? They can't deal with the fact that they're a douchebag, so they start pointing the finger at everybody else in the hopes that nobody will notice or click to their scumbaggery. It's very simple. If you don't want to be found out, why don't you just behave the opposite of whatever you are? I mean, come on. Do you think somebody who's wearing a wire walks into a room with the person that they're trying to implicate and says to them, "Hey, I'm wearing a wire. Look at me. I'm recording this conversation." No. The reason why it's underneath his shirt. Same principle goes. If these people came out in the open with what they're doing, as sometimes gets exposed, as a book by a researcher in here in New Zealand named Nikki Hager, called The Hollow Men, a series of secret emails being passed through from the national government between each other, and the sheer amount of willing deception just a complete and utter disdain for the public, just treating them like numbers, like sheep, like scum, manipulatable. That's the kind of people that those people vote for, okay? And it's the same everywhere. People have got to stop thinking about this in terms of countries. Think about, yes, I'm in my country, but think about the broader implications. And then you will recognize just how important your country's role is to play. For instance, two documents. Whoosh, you put them up there. Codex Alimentarius and Agenda 21. Codex Alimentarius sounds like a really strange, random word, doesn't it? Why do you suppose it was named that, as opposed to something that would be easy for people to remember and say and be able to tell everybody else about? You know, it's deliberate. What does it do? Oh, yeah, that's right. It gives draconian power to big, massive corporations like Monsanto, who just bought Blackwater and co-owned by Bill Gates, who gives billions of dollars in vaccines to sterilize Africans and what have you. You know, all right, it gives them the ability to come onto your property without a warrant, armed, and be immune from criminal prosecution if you were so much as passing a cabbage to your neighbor. At the end of the day, that's what they will implement if people allow it. This is the level of insanity. And these people are so fracking nuts or stupid, and mostly stupid. They just keep going along with it because they just don't know. Responsibility has been bred out of people, I think. We're all forced into these kind of collectivist classrooms, one teacher to 30 kids. None of us gets the attention we need as kids anymore. Not enough for development. Parents don't light up when your kid comes in the room, you know. All that detachment has left people feeling lonely. You know, if you're like a college student listening to shows like mine, and you're in a lecture theatre, you will most definitely have at least a dozen other truthers in that room at the same time. Okay, we're everywhere. It's just you ain't looking. Every time I go out to a club or a bar or anything like that to do a filming of a dance party or whatever, I wind up seeing and talking to a lot of people, and I find almost always at least one or two or three or even a lot of truthers. Okay? Trust me. We are everywhere. People who are questioning this reality are everywhere. And people just want you to think that we're not. So that way, you won't feel strong. You won't feel like the force of the bulk of humanity is behind you. You won't get any wind in your sails. You won't grow up here and think, hey, we can do this. We can take these people down. We can take our countries back. We can restore liberty. We can restore freedom. They don't want you to think that way. Because it's very, very dangerous when you think about it. To give other people any kind of power over you, and the government has that exact same fear that we do, not being in total control of ourselves. Except the government isn't one person. It can effectively kill everyone. We'll be right back. Gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio. It's the heroine of talk radio. It's habit forming. And I think the producer will like that very much. Caller lines are now open, ladies and gentlemen. It's the final segment here, so, you know, the theme of the show is just giving people a platform to tell their story about who they are and what they do or whatever. So if you have some an interesting story or something interesting in the news that happened today, just call right on in. And if not, just keep listening to me, because I talk to a lot of people and I've always got interesting stuff to say to me. So I can probably at least repeat back to you what certain individuals who are informed have told me. Isn't that trying to be the function of the media? I don't care. 218, because the media is corrupt, 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. And if you're calling in from overseas, the charges to call into the United States will be extensive, because after all, we need to pay that extra SOPA tax. Just to slick things along. Just a little bit. There is so much censorship going on all over the place. It's awful. Like, for example, this YouTube debacle. Anybody hear this? Every single YouTube channel, basically, has been switched over to this ridiculously, awfully, plain, disgusting stack of crapola. It's like defacing a cathedral, if you will, on purpose, and destroying the very purpose for which it was built. You know, to look pretty, and to serve as some description of ritual practicing ground. I don't think that's what YouTube really is. Everybody just practicing rituals. It's the truth of ritual, the Justin Bieber fan ritual, the vacuous New Age ritual. You know, there's all forms of them. There's very little point to thinking to yourself, I'll just make sure that this kind of freedom that I have to express myself and do stuff that I want to do, I'll just wait until that goes away before I actually do anything about it. Why would people do that? It's because they don't know the consequences before they happen. It's because they've been lied to their entire life. But, I mean, they have, after all, been educated in public schools. They have, after all, sat down in front of a television and watched 10,000 junk food commercials a year. Do you think that doesn't have an effect? Think about the quantity of influence you're dealing with here. And it's influence in many, many ways. A lot of people are in a herd mentality most of the time. They have no idea what they're part of. They haven't thought for themselves in a long time. They've never been taught to think for themselves. You know, people have to lead by example. If you want people to think for themselves, get them to listen to a person who does think for themselves. And that's the point of this show. Just bring you on. If you know what you're talking about, people ought to hear your bloody story, oughtn't they? We have a caller just come on the show here. Area code 816, you're on the air. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Vinny, how you doing?
Well, my standard response is borderlining on fabulous.
Of course, and yes, you are. This is amazing for me. I am strictly in the center of the heartland of the good old USA. And, you know, contacting with a brother soul in New Zealand, no less the cousin of Lucy Lawless, and no less a brilliant genius like myself. This is awesome. Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, I figured out your 15%. Get this.
Before we continue, could I just grab your first name and the state you're calling from, just so people can familiarize with your situation?
John, Kansas.
Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, sorry, continue.
I figured out your percentage. 15%, out of 100, right? 15 out of 100 might have a freaking clue, right? Well, figure 15 into 100, and it comes out to one person in 6.66666. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't know where the 15% came from. Probably by somebody who was interested in 666.
No, it was one of what you said a bit ago, last hour, about how only maybe 15 out of 100 people have a clue. It was something like that. One of your callers were talking.
Oh, yeah. Noam Chomsky is a philosopher, and he's written a number of books. He said that there's a particular political class that's between 15 to 20% or so.
Right, that's it. Now, my question is, all the different groups that are getting together and kind of, because I've heard many different groups that normally would be opposed, but it's kind of like the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So we're all coming out and going, whoa, I don't understand you, I don't understand you, but we have a common, you know, foe, et cetera, because we're not, you know, the Bible says, for example, as much as lies within you, live at peace with all men. We're doing the fracking opposite of that as a government, as a people. See? And so...
And that's one of the main tenets of Satanism, is to do the opposite of things, you know?
Absolutely.
Turn things upside down and the wrong way around.
Have you ever read the last page of the Satanic Bible?
I haven't read a single page of the Satanic Bible, but I've spoken to a former priest of the Church of Satan.
Oh, well, I skipped through it one day, and it was prominently displayed in the bookstore. That put me on edge for one thing, and then I skimmed through it, and then I skimmed through it to get the gist of what it said. And the last page said, "The sum of all things is this: doubt everything." Which is the opposite of faith.
Exactly. And that's it. That's why we live in opposite world, isn't it? You know?
Bizarro. Yes. But the thing is, they are having faith. They're having faith that they're mindless, you know, and it's demonic, like David Icke. But besides that, if you were going to treat them like they're merely psychopaths and not being influenced by the dark side... If they were merely human acting this way, which is virtually impossible, you look at all the horror stories, but let's just say they're acting like stupid, ignorant humans, for my people perish for lack of knowledge, it's impossible to me that they can be so mindless and have faith in the negative, because they have faith that their death is going to change the world. Whereas we have faith that life is going to change the world. So they have a faith, it just pointed in the wrong direction.
Yeah, I think you're right. And we're also adding into this conversation here, Tim. Tim, welcome to the program. You're still with us, John, I hope you.
Hi, Tim. Yeah.
Hey, what's happening, man? I know it's got a minute left. I was just looking at Yahoo. I just got on the computer, and they were talking about Andre Breitbart, and they were talking about the video was a dud. So I'm pretty sure they didn't quite edit that thing. Because remember, there was a big thing though last week, and now I'm looking at the piece on it, and they're saying that the video was a dud. It didn't show them anything. So I'm like, yeah, someone tampered with that.
Well, here's an interesting thing I just found out today. The Snitch on Your Neighbor program that a lot of different groups are starting, you know? Well, okay, well, get this. According to the document that the program says in there, I haven't totally checked it out. I got the document. It seems real, but according to that, it says if you're in a library and somebody turns their screen away from you, like a laptop or something, or if you see someone logging onto, get this, AOL or Comcast, or you see them looking weird or whatever, then you're supposed to tell on them. And I'm going, what? Somebody wants some privacy, that's number one. But the second one, logging into AOL or Comcast, what's that about?
Oh, they just want you to be paranoid about everything, you know. It's all part of the National Snitch Alliance movement, or commonly known as the NSA. They're basically just trying to make everybody just deathly afraid. Oh, my God! There's a terrorist around every single corner! We're going to be annihilated at any moment! And so you have an entire population who's on edge, trigger-happy, paranoid, and so you can be guaranteed that they'll spot anybody in the entire country that might be planning or doing anything. But the problem is, you won't just catch anybody, you'll wind up catching everybody, and that's the real agenda here, is to turn everybody into a criminal. So thank you very much, gentlemen, for participating in criminality tonight with me. It's been fabulous.
Okay, I'll call you earlier next time.
I'm sorry, man. Definitely, man. Next time I ask to call in right away. I'll put you on air first.
Okay, man.
All right. See you later, John, in Kansas as well. So, everybody, thank you very much for your time, and we'll see you again some other time, no doubt. You've been listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose that sense of humor, you will go friggin' nuts. Catch you later.